Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The Word of God is living. Now, there may be a measure of power in other books, for certain thoughts and ideas have a degree of power, but other books do not have that indescribable vitality in them, which breathes and speaks and pleads and conquers, as in the case of the Bible.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Hebrews. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in a message titled, The Word of God, Living and Powerful. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Hebrews chapter 4. We are there once again today, and we're going to be looking today at just one verse, coming back and looking more closely at the 12th verse, a familiar verse, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So in our last study, as you perhaps remember, we considered these verses in the larger context of the writer's warning not to come short of God's rest through unbelief, for that will result in judgment, just as it did on their ancient ancestors who came out of Egypt led by Moses. So as we pointed out, as we're making our way through, as we're trying to maintain the continuity of thought, he's warning them not to repeat the sins of their fathers. And what were their sins? Their sins were really the sins of unbelief that resulted in disobedience that prevented them from experiencing what God really intended for them. And that, of course, was entry into the promised land. And so we went through verse 13 last week, and we saw how verses 12 and 13 are connected to that warning, and they are a reminder, for the Word of God is living and powerful. They are a reminder that what God said to the ancient Israelites and the warning of judgment, that it still stands for them at the time. And so we saw it in its original context. But today I want to take the verse, and I mentioned previously, you remember that most of the time when we think about this verse or we hear it quoted, we generally think about it outside of its context. We think about it just in the sense of what it's saying about the Word of God itself. And that's the look that I want to take at it here today. So looking more generally at what it teaches us about the Word of God. And so, for the Word of God, he says, first of all, is living. The Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible is a living book. It's a living book. And of course, those on the outside don't understand that. But this is what we know to be the case. There is no other book like it in all the world, nor has there ever been. There's no comparing, as you know, people oftentimes will try to make a comparison, you know, between various literatures of the world, religions or so forth, or maybe even, you know, a comparison with philosophical writings or whatever. But there is no comparison. Of the 16 million volumes in the Library of Congress, there are none that are living. The Word of God is living. Now, there may be a measure of power in other books, for certain thoughts and ideas have a degree of power, but other books do not have that indescribable vitality in them, which breathes and speaks and pleads and conquers, as in the case of the Bible. And so that's the first thing that we need to consider. The Word of God is living. The Word of God itself is, as we read it, as we subject ourselves to it, even before we perhaps believe it, it has an impact. There's this miraculous element to it. And of course, it's through the Word of God that we're ultimately brought into life spiritually. Spurgeon, the great Victorian preacher, he said this concerning the Bible. He said, "Why, the book has wrestled with me. The book has smitten me. The book has comforted me. The book has smiled on me. The book has frowned on me. The book has clasped my hand. The book has warmed my heart. The book weeps with me and sings with me. It whispers to me and it preaches to me. It maps my way and holds up my goings. It was to me the young man's best companion, and it is still my morning and evening chaplain. It is a living book full of strange mystic vitality." I love that because it's so true. That's exactly the case. And I think you can relate to this. You know, the Bible, like he said there, it became his companion. That's what it is. It's something that you don't feel comfortable being without. You want it near to you. And you want it ever, you know, right there, not just available within the reach of your hand, but of course, more importantly than that, where it's hidden in our hearts and it returns to us over and over again. So it is a living book, but it's also, as a living book, it is a life-giving book. And Spurgeon went on to speak about the life-giving power of the Word, or the quickening power. He said, "When our soul has been faint and ready to die, a single word applied to the heart by the Spirit of God has aroused us, for it is a life-giving as well as a living word." And then he said this personally, "I'm so glad of this because at times I feel altogether dead, but the Word of God is not dead, and coming to it, we are brought back to life." And this is so true. This is the experience of the servants of God, the people of God, that as we come to the Word, and we might come at times just feeling completely dead. What do we do when we have the sort of that emotion of deadness in the sense? How do we arouse ourselves spiritually? Well, we come to the Word. And because the Word is living, there are those times when just, you know, even a sentence will have that kind of impact to spark us back to life and to energize us and to give us what we need to carry on. And so the Word of God is living. Secondly, the Word of God is powerful. Some translations read active. And the Greek word is the word from which we get our word energy or energetic. And so the Word of God is energetic. It is energizing. And think of the number of things that are attributed to the energy of God's word. First of all, creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, night unto night shows forth knowledge. And it's through the word of the Lord that the heavens were made. It's through the breath of his lips that all things came into existence. And so when we think of the power of God's word, how powerful is God's word? God's word spoke everything into existence. Think about that. God spoke. There was nothing. God spoke, and then there was something. As we read the creation account in Genesis, the Latin term that's used for creation as described in Genesis is creation ex nihilo, which means creation from nothing. The Hebrew word there in the Genesis text when it refers to the initial creation is the Hebrew word bara. And the Hebrew word bara means to create from nothing. And so how could it be that there was nothing and then something came forth? God spoke it into existence. And it's that very word that God spoke that brought all things into existence. That's the word that he's speaking of here as well. And so the word of God is powerful. It creates. The word of God is powerful. It convicts. The word of God has this convicting power. And sometimes, and I'll go into this a little more in a second, but sometimes it can be just a word or two, just a sentence that can bring deep conviction upon the soul of man. Of course, it's through conviction that we're ultimately led to conversion. But it's the word of God that brings the conviction. It's the word of God that brings the conversion. Peter reminds us that we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Our very conversion is a result of God's word. God's word, in other words, then it's so powerful that it brings us, it recreates us, it brings us new life. And then it conforms us. It conforms us. It's through the word of God that we go through this process of being conformed into the image of Christ. And the theological term for this would be sanctification. But what sanctification is, it's being made like Jesus. And it's a process, it's a lifelong process, but it's God's word that's doing that conforming. And it has the power to do that. And of course, there are many other things, but I'll just add one more. The word of God is powerful to comfort. Well, how many times have we needed comfort and consolation, and we find it there in God's word? We find it in the pages of Scripture. I don't know that there is any other religious book in the world that even offers comfort. But the Bible is that book that brings to us that comfort, that comfort that's really unexplainable in human terms. Again, sometimes just a word can bring great peace and comfort. And so the word of God is living. It is powerful. And once again, to quote Spurgeon, he said, "If you seek to do good in this sad world and want a powerful weapon to work with, stick to the gospel." The living gospel, the true gospel, there is power in it sufficient to meet all the sin and death in human nature. You know, it's so true. Sometimes I see people who are, you know, they're trying to help people through their struggles and their difficulties. And some of this is on the internet. You know, some of it is on social media. And, you know, they post little words of encouragement here or there. And, you know, sometimes I see friends who are believers, and I know they're trying to help out others and their difficulties and their struggles and so forth. But, you know, sometimes I read the quotations from philosophers and quotations from, you know, maybe celebrities, you know, nice little sayings that people have about certain things. And I think, well, you know, okay, that's nice, that's sweet, but it's not powerful. It's not God's word. And in the end, all of the philosophy and all of the theories of men and all of those kinds of things, they don't have the power in them that we're talking about here. Only the word of God has that power. Spurgeon was absolutely right. If you want to do good in this sad world, stick with the gospel. Bring people the gospel. Bring them the truth of God's word, because it's only God's word that has that life and that power. But then he says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And the idea here, the word sharper could be translated cutting. The word of God cuts through. That's the picture. The word of God, you know, cuts, you know, we use the phrase, you know, let's just cut to the chase. You know, that means let's just get down to the real core issue here. That's what God's word does. God's word cuts through the camouflage that we try to so often hide behind. And God's word just cuts all of that away. It cuts through the confusion that a situation can bring. It gets right down to the heart of the matter. It lays bare the soul. And I can tell you that I have seen God's word at work in this way so many times over the years in the lives of people, but I've experienced it in my own life as well, where you're perplexed or you're struggling or, you know, there's a difficulty or whatever it might be, or maybe there's even a sin issue in your own heart that you're not really facing. You're hiding. You're trying to hide something. And God's word just comes and it cuts to the chase. It just gets right down to the point. This is the problem. And this is how it can be dealt with. I can think of the multitudes of people over the years who have come maybe after a message was given and have come and said, how did you know what was going on in my life? Did my wife tell you? Did she let you know that I was going to be here this morning? How is it that you addressed every single issue that's going on in my mind? Well, that's what the Word of God does. It cuts through everything. It's living. It's powerful. It's cutting. And he refers to it, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, why a two-edged sword? Well, what is implied here is that there is no blunt side to God's word. You see, a two-edged sword has no blunt side. It cuts this way and it cuts that way. And this is what he's saying. There's not a single verse of scripture that the Spirit cannot use in his dealings with men. That's why the more we can just get the word of God out there, the more impact we're going to see take place. This is what we need to bring to bear on the problems of the world, the problems in people's lives. We need to bring to bear this sharp word of God. And there's not a single scripture that the Spirit cannot use in his dealings with men. You know, isn't it true that sometimes we are reading through portions of scripture and we think, oh gosh, this is so laborious. This is so boring. What are they? Why all of these names? Why all of this detail and all of that? Well, I admit that I feel that way at times, but I have to remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So every single thing that's written here, potentially God can use this. I heard the story of a man who sat through a reading of the genealogy in Genesis 5. The genealogy in Genesis 5, it starts with Adam, and then it goes through to Noah. And in all of those names that are mentioned, each one of them ends with the age of the person and then a statement that, and he died. So this man is not a believer. He comes, he sits, he listens to this. I mean, if you were the person that brought this guy to church that day, you're just like, oh, this is like, what is the preacher thinking? I brought my friend here to hear the gospel and we're listening to these boring genealogies. But you know what happened? Each time he heard and he died and he died and he died, he was suddenly struck with the reality of his own mortality. He realized that he would also die just like all of these other men did, and it provoked him to cry out to the Lord to save him. He got saved through that. That's what the author's talking about here. Sharper than any two-edged sword. There's no blunt side to it. God can take any portion of his word and he can use it. And again, I say this, this is why we need to get God's word out to people. It's easy to get sidetracked and to get caught up in debate and argumentation, you know, philosophically and all of those kinds of things. And I'm not saying there's not times when we have to answer bad philosophy with good philosophy and all of that. But we better never forget that at the end, we've got to make sure to get the Word of God in there, because that's the thing that can make the difference. Another example of this and the power just of the Word itself. Back in the 18th century, the great revivalist George Whitefield, who led multitudes of people to Christ through his preaching all throughout England, his great antagonist was a man by the name of Mr. Thorpe of Bristol. Mr. Thorpe was the head of the Hellfire Club. And as Whitefield and Wesley and these others were preaching the gospel in these days, the Hellfire Club would come along, and every time these guys would stand up to preach, they would mock them, they would jeer them, they would throw things at them, they would just basically harass them. And this man, Mr. Thorpe, he was the primary antagonist. And Mr. Thorpe had memorized Whitefield's sermons. And not only had he memorized them, he could mimic Whitefield. He could get up and mockingly preach a Whitefield sermon in the tone of Whitefield, mimicking his voice and his gestures. And so he became obviously a hit in his mockery of Whitefield. Well, on one occasion, he got up and he preached a Whitefield sermon. And guess what happened? He came under the conviction of the Spirit, and he was converted. And he became later Whitefield's greatest protagonist. He served Whitefield. He preached the gospel himself. But who would have ever expected, you know, here this great opponent to the gospel? He came too close to the double-edged sword, and it sliced him. That's what happens with this Word of God. And so he says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So dividing between soul and spirit. You see, God's Word shows us the difference between what is of the soul. The word here, the Greek word, is psyche. Our word psychology comes from there, the study of the soul or the mind. So God's Word shows the difference between what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. What is of man and what is of God? What is of grace and what is of nature? So it's God's Word that divides, where it is difficult for us to discern between these two things. It is difficult for us to know where the soul leaves off and the spirit begins. But it's God's Word that can divide between those two things. One writer said this. He said, our author is not concerned to provide here a psychological or anatomical analysis of the human condition, but rather to describe in graphic terms the penetration of God's Word to the innermost depth of man's personality. That's what it is. God's Word penetrates. God's Word goes deep. And you see, it's God's Word, again, that can get in when nothing else can get in.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. Whether you're married or single, this DVD and CD set teaches essential biblical principles for a fresh and fruitful marriage relationship. Learn how to encourage, esteem, and enjoy one another in marriage in this delightful DVD and CD, as Pastor Brian and Cheryl share about their own personal experiences in marriage. The DVD and CD set is titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson, and it's our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk to order this DVD and CD set titled Marriage Essentials by Pastor Brian and Cheryl Broderson. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Marriage Essentials DVD and CD by Pastor Brian and Cheryl as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Hebrews. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.